Yo, what up, pod racers? Are you like me where you sunburn easily? Have narrow shoulders you want to hide from the world? Weirdly small nips? Great news, we have a solution. Original tabletop shirt designs. Reading Rainbow, Dungeon Club, a dungeon in a dragon. Find these and more over at patreon.com/goblinsgrowlersshirtclub at the $25 tier. These are all exclusive, limited run designs. We'll never bring them back again. So be sure you get yours by signing up at patreon.com/goblinsgrowlers. Yippee!
Yeah, we're waiting for Brandon, though.
Brandon's there. He's just not letting us see him for some reason. Brandon, are you picking your nose or something?
No, I was worried that my camera was causing me to lag out.
Okay. You can do that on camera. It's like, man.
All right.
This is Quid Pro Roll, a fantasy live play adventure where a party of unlikely heroes embark on a quest to bring dragons back to their world.
Well, howdy, listeners. Welcome to the Daily Crier Listening Show, where all the news and veering and beyond can make its way right to you. So the party arrived, safe and sound in Falmouth, leaving yet another bounty hunter dazed and confused. Though on their way in, wouldn't you guess it, they spot a mysterious purple tent that just plucks on the strings of memory for all of them. Hey Artemis, hope you can hear this. Here's a shout out from atop a mountain. I hope you remember the rest of your tea supplies because you left some of it here. Not that I'm complaining. The Tinker's breakfast tea can is still about half full. Anyway, the party settles into the tent, and Koza spends some time talking with Banana the Snake before Artemis herself shows up and presents them all with some rather foreboding oracle cards. They each, one by one, begin to touch their cards, seeing visions of their potential success and failure. I remember that one. Ugh. In any case, I hope you all are having a tremendous time and taking moments to watch the stars. In the words of another MC, here, the bright symbols of our hope and fame, in which we read each blessing and curse. All are syllables with which the gods speak our name. In the vast utterance of the universe. And as always, y'all take care now.
Solinar, you reach out to touch the card, the smell of incense in the room go like filling your head and making you feel like you're floating. Even as you feel this coldness seep into your body, you find yourself lying on the ground on the floor of what for some reason you know is the Temple of Gold. The floor, the walls, everything glitters, but you can see your blood pooling out of your body from where you lay. You don't have the strength to move your head, but you can feel a presence next to you. You know that that is how you met your end. And you know that deep in your heart is a feeling of betrayal. It is in that moment you are ripped back into your very non-stabbed body, sitting on a very comfortable cushion.
Solinar takes a shaky breath. And with a, well, didn't like that, but not really a surprise, reaches for the Paradise card.
As your fingers touch the card of Paradise, you can smell the sea. You can feel the sun on your back, and you can feel wind in your hair. You're standing on the deck of what you know to be the Illustre. You can tell that you're sailing out somewhere beyond the misted seas, somewhere very far from where you are now. Inside of you is a feeling of peace and a feeling of accomplishment and a feeling unfamiliar to you in such a long time, a feeling of safety. You see, sitting on the edge of the boat and smiling at you is Melody. You rip back into your bones and your body, no longer smelling the sea air.
Well, that's... I know generally what I saw and smelled and felt, but that's not possible.
Artemis is going to tilt her head at you.
Well, I experienced going beyond the misted seas, which isn't possible because there's nothing beyond the misted seas. The misted seas were created by the gods to keep us from sailing off the edge of the planet. Everybody knows that. It's very simple, child-level knowledge.
Banana is going to raise her head and turn to look at you before gently setting her head back down on the table. So she's basically doing the thing where she's got like her chin resting on the table and is looking at you guys.
What are you thinking about, Banana?
There is much beyond the sea, Severian.
Yeah, like space, because the planet just ends.
Cassica is there.
What's Cassica?
Home.
Home where? Like, there's...
I do not understand your confusion.
Oh, nothing. How's your home beyond the misted sea?
I came with her long ago when I was needed. I am her companion. I keep the loneliness away.
So Artemis is from beyond the mist sea?
Artemis is from something beyond my understanding. She is not from anywhere.
Oh, I don't really know what that means.
She was born without womb, breathes without air, sees without sight. She is beyond what we are.
Oh, a lich.
I am not making every NPC y'all run into a lich, all right? It was that one time. Artemis was and is and has never been what you all are.
A halfling.
But she has not been that, no, that is true.
Hell yeah.
Artemis? Or like not us.
Not us. That's so dumb.
As soon as you started, I was like, where is this going?
And then as soon as it got there, I said, take me back. Koza, you gotta touch the cards.
So Koza's gonna reach out and touch the bad news one first.
The bad news card. Instead of the Spectre of Death, you see just a bear frowning. He's the bad news bear. You touch the card, and you find yourself being whipped through space and time, and you find yourself somewhere cold and damp and hopeless. You feel yourself wasting. Something in your body is shutting down. You can tell that through water, through food, through whatever, you've been locked here for some time. And no one is coming for you. You are going to die alone here. And you might never be remembered.
I don't like this one.
You're whipped back into your body, and that's a valid take on that one.
Koza because of shutters, and then reaches out and touches the other one.
Interestingly, compared to some of the others, you are finding yourself locked in battle in this moment. You can feel your magic pulsing around you as it desperately fights against the magic of another. Through the light and the shock and the swirl of spore, you can see that you are fighting Emberlyn. In your blood is just this boiling feeling of resolution, of strength. You know who you are. You know what you want to be, and you know what you want. And all of it culminates in the victory that you can feel at hand. You are feeling in yourself a sense of purpose and identity that you have never known. And it bolsters you. With a final cry, you can feel your magic pushing her back. And for just a moment, you can feel that you've won. You're pulled back into your body at that moment. Artemis is going to lean forward, gently moving Banana's head aside. Potential. She's going to raise both hands, and the images of the cards are all going to condense into one each, floating over her hands as if she herself is a scale.
I'm not so sure. But maybe.
I mean, I certainly like one of these outcomes a lot better than the other. But as I am to understand your meaning, Artemis, this isn't what will happen. This is what may happen.
She nods once.
In either direction, because I get the distinct impression that one of these things that I've just seen, were it to occur, the other would not.
Yes. She looks over at Koza. Unexpected.
Oh, what do you mean?
She looks at you, kind of as if she's sizing you up for a moment. Complexity.
Okay.
She sighs, kind of knowing that what she's trying to convey is difficult, and looks back at you. Decision.
Decision? Are you saying I need to make some kind of decision?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Night.
Night? It is night. Yeah. Are you sleepy?
She gives you sort of a sympathetic look. She's going to open her palm, and in the image you see is a familiar skull wearing a crown with a small mushroom growing out of it. In just a moment, she closes her hand, dispelling the image.
Oh, you know the Queen of Spores?
She nods once.
How is she doing? I don't think she was doing too well last time we talked.
She looks down and then looks back at you, waiting.
Waiting? Okay.
Alita's gonna kind of pipe out from the back. So, are these supposed to be, like, one or the other, or... Could we potentially have neither? Is neither a choice? Just, I don't know about you guys. Did y'all not prefer either of those?
No, I had one that was distinctly better than another one.
Oh.
I mean, it's kind of weird that you don't like either of yours.
Yeah, I also had one where I was literally talked to death, which didn't seem ideal. And then another one where all of us were hanging out, being cheered. We had medals on our necks. I was carrying some cool-looking doodads that were probably given to me by half soon, half not soon. Very clearly a better one than the other.
So is there anything else that you guys want to do in this tent before you leave? Do you have any questions? Do you have any fortune telling needs.
Hey, do you mind if we stay in the tent tonight?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like,
She kind of like looks around, bedless.
We can sleep on the floor. It's not a problem. You see, we ran into a bounty hunter. Go ahead, Koza.
Oh, and these cushions are comfortable too.
Yeah, we're afraid that if we stay at the inn, the bounty hunter will find us. And we had just a devil of a time trying to deal with her.
Emerald?
Oh, yeah. Emerald Dragon. Yeah. Her name was Ellen the Pure.
She looks down. No.
No, she didn't seem very pure. I agree with you there. She was digging holes and hurting kids, all kinds of stuff.
I just love the idea that the bounty hunter's whole gambit was just to have you guys fall in a hole.
Clearly she wasn't a very good bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, clearly not. Artemis is going to nod, allowing you all to stay for the night, though she does look slightly concerned about the prospect.
I mean, we'll be out early in the morning. Don't worry about it.
Safe.
We're very respectful guests.
She stands up and sighs, tea, and walks out of the room.
Hey, Artemis. Before I turn in, I was giving some thought to what I saw, which is that there's something out beyond the Misted Seas. And offhand, I was inclined to dismiss that outright. But it's... in case it is a thing that is possible, or this is from an era that we simply cannot recall at this point, I think you would have more information than anybody else I know about these. And Solinar produces from his pack a very small sachet of coins. It is 10 GP with foreign symbols on them that are completely unfamiliar to the Virian eye.
She's going to hold her hand out and pour the coins in and look at them. There's a look of nostalgia in her eyes. Myhone.
What is a Myhone? Is that where you're from?
She looks perplexed at the question, and then a little confused, as if she doesn't know the answer to that. Doubtful.
Is it a place from history? Or a place from beyond the Misted Seas?
Far.
So there is things beyond the Misted Seas.
She nods.
Oh. I have a lot to think about. I'm gonna go lay down. Thank you.
She smiles at him, kind of sympathetically, and returns the small parcel of coins before walking past one of the weird fabric door things that she set up into another room. Cole's gonna walk up to you guys and kind of like look around and then tilt his head curiously.
Hey, buddy, I know you're probably feeling weird about this whole thing. Like, would you be okay staying here with Artemis?
Banana is going to slither up and he's going to pet her head. He's going to crouch for a moment. Again, you know, giving her little chin scratches. And then he's going to look back up. He's going to nod once.
Okay, buddy, we'll come get you when everything's over. But we just think this will be a lot safer for you. Rather than getting stuck with our nonsense.
He's gonna kind of, like, tug on your cloak a little bit. He seems to be seeking reassurance.
Boat gives him a hug.
If that concludes your night, Artemis is going to bring you all a very strong tea that puts you right to sleep.
Oh my gosh, I love tea so much. Tea!
She's drugged our tea. She wants to make sure we don't mess up her house.
When you wake up, you feel better. The weeks and months of traveling have sort of left your muscles. You feel refreshed in a way you haven't felt in some time.
All right. Good night. Sleep on the floor.
A feeling that everyone has when they sleep on the floor. Your back feels amazing.
This is a classic anime convention. For me, it's really deeply tied to Dragon Con in my like late teens and early 20s, where it's like, you've been like walking con for 28 hours, actually more inside just the gaming room, tabletop gaming room, for like 28 hours. And then you finally get to sleep, but you're sharing the room with like six people. So you sleep on the floor and you wake up and somehow you're refreshed. But really, it's just because you were so absolutely miserable because you were awake for like 28 hours straight to tabletop game. And so even though you slept on the floor, you're like, wow, I slept so well. Like, wow, this is so refreshing and nice. And I imagine that's what it is.
I was fully expecting we were going to wake up and the tent would be gone and we would just be laying outside on the ground.
That was a potential outcome, I'm not going to lie.
Thereby negating our decision to stay here completely, because Ellen the Pure could walk by at any moment.
She just
and
just stabs you guys as she sees you laying on the ground.
You're tired of me making holes? I'll make some holes.
You awaken and things feel comfortable. The tent's still very dark, but you can tell through the light that you can see in the thinning parts of the upper tent fabric that it is daytime.
How big is this tent?
You can also hear bustle outside. Larger than it looks on the outside, that's for sure.
It was sounding like a TARDIS tent to me, because we walk in and then there's a back room and then there's another back room that she can go into at least.
Just like... every
She's
room that we follow,
rooms.
Every room yeah. we follow her into, there's another back room behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how and you fall into the back rooms, is that Artemis leads you there. It's not that you know clip through reality.
The only way to actually get to the last room is to back up backwards through the back room to the backest room.
The backest room. No, that's Solinar's last name.
Yeah, it's really a fourth dimensional tent. It's a tensoract.
Solinar Bacchus room.
Solinar Bacchus. Now, if you guys are continuing on from Valmuth, if you have decided to leave Cole here, now would be the time to say your goodbyes.
That does a little screen come up saying, like, you will not be able to return after this point?
I mean, a little, yes.
Finish all side quests at this time. We gotta go back to Tinkerhaven so we can...
If we go back to Tinkerhaven, Alon will cry.
It's so frustrating. The fast travel is bugged and we have to walk all the way there.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. You guys have one method of fast travel, but you can only use it once.
And it'll take us to Marine, which we're so close to right now.
Oh, but I'm just so tired.
It's your fast travel and like the request rewards aren't even worth it.
Yeah.
This knife isn't even magical.
Boat gets up early and goes to grab some coffee and take out breakfast and brings it back so he can have breakfast with Cole.
I'm glad that you found the what amounts to the Waffle House.
Hey, Ilaria runs on Duncan.
All right, Alard, I am a Krispy Kreme person, so...
I was going to say, if you're getting takeout from Waffle House, then you are in a just a really deep pit. Like, that is...
All right, as somebody from Georgia, from Waffle House, I will fight you.
Were you in a bad place?
I'm so right, sorry to hear about what happened to you, Alex.
Look, I'm from Georgia. I know. If somebody walks in and picks up a bag to go from Waffle House, everybody there just turns. They're like, we're really sorry. Like, I hope you make it through.
Look,
somebody flips through the jukebox and they put on Allman Brothers, because in Georgia, that's what you do if somebody's hurting.
Anyway, Boat shows back up with a greasy bag of breakfast food and coffee in a weird an out of place paper cup tray thing.
Anachronism.
Yeah, that word.
Solinar is gonna kneel down. He's gonna put a couple hands on the shoulders of Cole. He's gonna be
just
like,
a couple of his spare
look.
Hands.
like pauldrons. He's gonna put them on like pauldrons, you know, to protect him.
Sorry, I stepped on the moment you were trying to have. Forgive me.
He puts his hands on Cole's shoulders, and he's like, "All right, I think you're going to be as safe with Artemis as you'd be with literally anybody in all of Irion. So I'm not concerned about you being okay. But on the off chance that something happens, I know technically we should wait until you're a little older, but I think you've proven that you're a very intelligent and careful individual, and you're not going to play with these, right? Right? You're going to treat them like tools, important and dangerous tools that have the potential to do permanent damage to things."
He nods.
And Solinar is going to pull out a pair of his bronze throwing daggers and give them to Cole, because they should be small enough and light enough that even for a 9-year-old, they'd be easy to
He's wield. Definitely got the wow sort of face. Like, you did just give him a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock.
Right, yeah. Now, like I said, you have to be careful with these. If at any point Artemis says you have to put them away, you gotta listen to her, okay?
He nods. He's going to jump forward, hugging Solinar.
Solinar's gonna embrace him in a big hug. Now we're gonna come back. We're still gonna see you, okay?
He nods. You can tell that he's getting kind of teary.
Boat's gonna kneel by him and be like, "Here, buddy, I want you to keep an eye on this for me. You know, I'll definitely want it back at some point, but I think you taking care of it for now is good." And Boat reaches into his pack and he gives him the Serpentine Heritage Ossuary Championship belt.
He's gonna take it and clutch it to himself and nod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I had to kill a big snake for that. So
Banana,
you know, just...
immediately comes in looking offended.
Oh, no, Banana, it was a bigger snake.
It was a monster snake.
Man,
it
bones.
Wasn't a nice snake either.
No skin.
All bones.
Or scales.
Banana does the snake equivalent of pointing at her eyes and then pointing at you.
Which is flicking the tongue out.
Yeah, oh, gross.
The tongue anyway, goes buddy. Out, points at the eyes, points at his eyes, points back at his eyes, and then goes...
Anyway, buddy, we'll be back soon. So you just keep an eye on this for us.
He nods.
Johannes comes up and he's like, "And it seems like you got your hands full. But what if they were fuller? I need you to do me a favor, buddy. Because we're going to go someplace where it's going to be really dangerous. And if there's one thing I've been noticing lately, it's that some people are so hot. And I mean temperature. Like, oh my gosh, melting rooms. And you know what the problem with that is? That's right. Daquin pops out. Daquin keeps getting ended up in an oven inside my breastplate. Not good news. And look, somebody's got to make sure that Daquin stays safe. And if I can't do it because I keep getting turned into a microwave... which is something my parents invented and therefore I know about. Then you're going to have to make sure that Daquin stays safe. Now, Daquin, you're a paladin of Soon.
He knows.
I believe in you. But I also believe in Cole because he's killed a bear. And so, together, I think you could take out probably like a bear and a half. So... you two watch each other, but also Cole, watch Daquin. He'll steal your nuts. If you're not careful, you leave a little open bag of walnuts, you're going to wake up with 3 left. And you started with 27, which is not enough. Okay, look, Daquin, you got your sentries? Yep, needle, check. Okay, armor, good. Okay, here's a lime, don't get scurvy.
Daquin is going to nod and salute Johannes before hopping onto Cole's shoulder.
Cole, here's 2 limes. Don't get scurvy.
I'm going to take the limes.
Take that out of my inventory.
Koza?
Koza is going to... Cole, Cole, I guess we've known each other for a surprisingly long time now. Here, you can eat these later. And he reaches around in his pack and finds like a little piece of like wood that's been rotting and has some like good berries that are sprouting, or good mushrooms that are sprouting
good
from
buttons,
it.
Good buttons, I think is good what buttons. You called them.
Yeah, I think that's what we went for. And gives it to Cole.
Despite the fact that you are handing him a rotting piece of driftwood, he takes it with reverence and nods. Alita is going to walk up to Cole and crouch in front of him. She's going to take the stuff that's in his arms and gently set it aside before hugging him. And she says something very quietly just to him before kissing him on the forehead through her mask and, like, patting his head as she stands. So, this is it, I guess.
Well, I guess so.
Cole's going to look at all of you and nod once resolutely, but you can see that he's aggressively fighting back tears.
Solinar, a little misty-eyed himself, is going to return the nod.
Boat gives him kind of that Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi salute before he jumps off of the sand speeder.
Whoa, I mean, Boat!
If your business here is done, you all step out of the tent into the sunlight. There is a feeling of relief, knowing that you have left Cole somewhere that will be safe. And then there's a feeling of apprehension. You pull yourselves together and carry on, collecting your supplies and then heading out of Valmouth. Your next stop is Meereen and the Temple of the Silver Dragon.
Quid Pro Roll is a co-production of Alpha Comics and Games with Goblins and Growlers. Our audio production and all original music composition is provided by Gabriel Perez. He can be found at Amethyst Audiomancer on Instagram. The voice of Alita and our DM for the podcast is Alex Smith. She can be found at Alpha Comic Games on Twitter. The voice of Charles Gravyboat Barnes is Brandon Dingus. He can be found at Way of Brandalore on Twitter. The voice of Eek and Koza are Chapman Adams. He can be found at What Are Birds on Instagram. The voice of Johannes is Alan. He can be found at The Dungeon Meowster on Instagram. And finally, the voice of Solinar is me, Josh Maltby, and I can be found at BlackCloakDM on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening.
He's going to jump forward, hugging Solinar.
Holding the knives.
Like,
oh god,
that's how he gets stabbed. That's why he feels betrayed.
It was the finally an effective bounty hunter. This incredibly long con.
Cole, the greatest bounty hunter in all of Virion.